Good morning, everybody. Thank you. How are you doing? Great. Thanks for making the walk all the way over to this side of the hemisphere at TechEd Florida. My name is Paul Yuknovich. I'm really happy to be here with you guys today. I have the fortune also of having the alias Paul Yuck. Not a whole lot I can do about that, but if you ever need to reach me at Microsoft, you can shoot me an email anytime. I'd love that. What I do, I'm one of the lead program managers in Visual Studio, and my team is focused on defining and building the cloud tools that ship as a part of the Windows Azure SDK. And I've been with Visual Studio for a while now. It's been over about a decade, working on a number of things from Windows Forms to the data technologies to SharePoint and now to cloud. I'm really excited to be talking to you today about continuous delivery. And really, when I think about continuous delivery, I think about how we enable, I think we're getting a little echo. Let's turn it down just a teeny bit. I really think about how we can automate every step of the way of our process for building cloud services and testing the cloud services and then pushing a really good high-quality result to Azure and to every environment that exists along in the flow. So what we want to do today is look at how we can really automate the complete process, the complete delivery process for cloud services. One thing I'll mention is that we've had kind of a naming and branding change. So back when we defined this talk, we were talking about cloud apps, and we've also called them clouds or hosted services. When I talk about cloud service, it's that compute container talking about the highly scalable, infinitely scalable, N-tier compute container that we have today in Azure. Also, as you've heard Scott and Satya talk about, we have new containers like the IaaS virtual machines, and we have websites. So today I'm going to focus on cloud services, but I can also talk to you about what it would look like to push to these other containers. Second goal really is just to integrate this kind of automation every step of the way that's meaningful in that software development lifecycle, right? So from design to development to source code check-ins to test to bug fixing to builds to push to fixing those bugs and just flowing it all the way through that lifecycle that we do. And then what I want to talk about today is also how do we customize this process to meet your needs, knowing that you have a number of different environments, whether that's build technologies, build servers, source depot technologies, whatever it is. I want to try to give you some tools that you can use in any environment, no matter what you're using, whether that's Microsoft or third party. Seem like a good thing to cover in the hour? Excellent. So more specifically, I'll give you just a super quick overview. We'll get on the same page. And then I want to go through just a number of kind of the steps that help you have the tools to get going with continuous delivery. So we'll configure the build servers. We'll look at kind of some of the building blocks that I'm going to use, like the explicit MS build commands that we can use to build a package for a cloud service, or the CS pack. Also, how we can use PowerShell and the Windows Azure PowerShell commandlet story to do the actual push from script. And then for those of us who are using TFS, actually, can I use a show of hands who is using TFS? Okay, a good percentage. I'll also show you optionally how you can wire into the on-premise TFS that we've already shipped, as well as the new cloud-based TFS preview that's online that we've been talking about for the last 2 weeks. So really, we're going to walk that line between, MS Build and PowerShell, which you guys can use in any environment, versus how to do it in TFS, and we'll kind of use those building blocks. And I'll try to hit as many, customizations and best practices as I go through. Please slow me down, speed me up if something interests you, if you have a question. All right, so let's go through the overview. In terms of the software development cycle, here are the phases, really, that I'm thinking about. So first is developers. We have tools like Visual Studio, and we have the Windows Azure SDK for .NET. And using those, we can do all that local development and the testing process, that we can do actually on our dev machines. And we're using things like F5. We can do the in Visual Studio Publish, which we've made a heck of a lot easier, and the Visual Studio Package. And my assumption actually is that we're going to spend, you know, a bit of time doing that development testing on the local machine before we push to Azure, you know, because there's factors like time and cost in terms of, you know, publishing to Azure. We've probably never been accused of having a publish that's too fast, right? So doing as much as you can locally makes sense. And then what I also assume is there's going to come a point where you actually want to do some testing truly in Azure, you know, to get that real integration test. And maybe you'll find some of those integration and environmental differences that you wouldn't have found on your local machine. Does that resonate to you? Does that sound like a process you guys are using? Okay. So, you know, thinking about our dev machine, we do a check-in. If we're using source code management, we have something like, you know, Team Foundation Server. I heard SVN this morning. There's a lot of, you know, Git. There's a lot of great technologies out there. So we can check in, and then whether it's on the same check-in server or actually a different build agent, you know, I'm thinking about there's a build server, and that build server basically has all the targets, the scripts, MS build, all the stuff that I need to go and build a package. Additionally, if it's something like TFS, or I have separate tools, I can run tests, right? And so the build server then can do this nightly build, or it can do actually continuous integration where every check-in results in a build, or, you know, on some time frame we're actually producing a build. And that's really the cool part, right? It's nice to be innovating on your code and then at every step of the way have an actual build that your team can try, test out, and make sure is really good. Okay. And so the artifacts that we're going to build in the case of a cloud project, it's not only the web and the worker role DLLs, but it's also the actual CS pack, which is kind of the packaging and deployment format for a cloud service. So we're going to show here a little cool animation. We're going to create that CS PKG as an output of the build server. And then what we want to do is do a push. And this is a part that's been pretty tricky. But using some combination of either PowerShell commandlets or the actual service management APIs that ship with Azure, you actually do have the ability to automate this push process or this deployment process to the real Azure environment. And so that's what we're going to focus on today. And then, you know, the thought is whether it's, you know, warm-blooded testers doing manual testing or, you know, ETL, or if it's automated testing, we're going to do that next level of certification actually on Azure, and we're going to make sure that things are working really the way we expected in the true environment. Right? In the process, you know, it happens to me. I don't know about you. Occasionally, there's some bugs. So, you know, this is a good opportunity to actually fix some bugs, check that back in to your depot, and then we're going to go through that kind of virtuous cycle of having more builds, more pushes, right, until the quality is really high. And then, you know, at any point, you can push that build that's in staging actually over to production. And you can, you know, there's actually a number of ways to do that with Azure. Azure, by default, has two slots in each cloud service, right? It has the staging and the production. So if you're publishing to staging, you can always VIP swap right into production. There's also, you know, if you want to actually have a separate environment, like a test cloud service, you could also do another push to a different cloud service, which is like your LKG or your production service environment. So does that still resonate with you guys? Is that kind of what you're doing? I'm actually really just curious, who would be more in the model of you would publish to a staging slot and then do a VIP swap into production? I'm very curious. Okay, how about publishing to a separate, entirely cloud service environment for testing and staging? Okay, that's good. I see a lot of kind of variation. Is there anything that I missed? Is there another option? Okay, I think we captured it. So basically, this is, you know, in a nutshell, the life cycle that is the span that I'm thinking about today, and we'll talk about how you can enable every step of the way. And it's actually pretty easy. All right, so let's talk a little bit about configuring the actual build server. Some of the principles that we have in mind, at least when we designed some of the tasks and things that you use in a build server. First one is that we want this package build to be fast as possible, and we want it to be disconnected, right? So at least when I work on build targets, I try to make sure that it's never going to do something error-prone like connect to the internet, right? I want to have this build server work offline. I want it to not be super error-prone. And there are places where I do want to connect online, like I do want to do a push, but typically I do that as a separate task, right? And that way I can do as many builds as I want, and I can do that separately from doing an actual deployment push. Second thing, so we talked about, you know, separately handling deployment. The next thing is that we kind of think about, hey, developers own the source code and the assets that's going in the source code, but it actually might be a different person, a different entity who's administering the build server, right? And there's different permissions they have, different concerns, there's different secrets that they have access to that the developers don't. So as we're going through this, we're going to try to pay attention to, you know, what are the things that the developers uniquely can control, and then what are some things that whoever is in charge of the build uniquely needs to take control of. And, you know, a lot of times they're different. And this is kind of that DevOps, you know, scenario that we talk about a lot. We also want to make sure that we have really good fidelity, in my opinion, with the kind of build that you can make in Visual Studio, right? It would be incredibly weird if you create a package with Visual Studio and then the result of our CI and CD is actually different than Visual Studio, because then you get into fidelity differences and you have to track down what's going on if there's an issue. And then the last thing, and I really believe in this in cloud development, I don't know if you do too, fast failure is critical, right? You know, you're going to have issues. It's important that things fail fast and that you have incredibly good validation and logs. That just makes it easy to recover quickly from this kind of agile environment of doing continuous integration and continuous delivery. So those are the principles that I have in mind. So in terms of considerations, you know, some of the things we might think about, like what's actually going to run the automation? Is it MS Build? Is it TFS Team Build? Is it some third-party product, Team City, et cetera? You know, do we have all of the right MS Build tools and targets that we need on the build server? So clearly we're doing web development, so we need the web targets. We need the Azure SDK targets. And then whatever other dependencies you have, you need to make sure that's on the build server. We need the Windows Azure SDK, and one thing that's kind of cool, and I don't know if you know this, but you can install just a subset of the Windows Azure SDK needed for build. Specifically, you need the Windows Azure authoring tools, part of the SDK, and you want the Visual Studio tools. And you can actually install the Visual Studio tools for Azure and the authoring tools without even having Visual Studio itself. So if you want to have a super lightweight build server and you don't want Visual Studio on there, which a lot of people don't, you can just go ahead and install these really smart parts, small parts of the SDK, and have exactly what you need. You know, then we're thinking about the scripts and commandlets that we need. You know, as a build server kind of operator, there's probably a process identity that you need to run as so that you have the right permissions, including the right permissions to get out of your proxy server and make connections to the internet. There's things like access control, and there's even secrets, right? We have connection strings, we have certificates, we have a number of those secrets, and, you know, maybe you're working with a lockbox or you have your own tactic for putting the right config settings in at build time that perhaps the developers don't have, right? We want to think about the triggers that we have. You know, in TFS terms, we have things like a manual trigger where you kick off a build explicitly, whether that's hitting a button or hitting a script. We have continuous integration, so every check-in results in a build. We have things like nightly or just, you know, scheduled builds. So you have all those different triggers. Drop locations. A lot of times, at least in my team, we drop to a UNC share, but you have a lot of different options, right? You can actually push to a folder in a repo. You could push to a UNC share. You could push to a special folder on disk. So we kind of want to think through those things. And then, you know, last but not least, there's the kind of logs that we want to have. You know, and again, this ties back to, if there's fast failures, exceptions, you want that. You know, maybe you want to see a trace of exactly all the commands that were run. So it's really easy to look and say, hey, at this instruction in the script, here's the failure that I saw. Okay, I know when I failed. I roughly know what's going on. Let's go fix it. For prereqs, I'll just fly through this super fast. To do exactly what I'm showing you here, you're going to need .NET Framework 4.0 at least. That includes the version of MS Build that you need. Actually, every version of the .NET framework comes with a version of MS Build. You need these specific three targets at a minimum. So you need the Windows Azure targets that come with the authoring tools, as I mentioned. A really cool thing, I don't know if you caught it in the announcement, but we now support side-by-side. So the November 2011, aka 1.6 SDK, is now installable side-by-side with the future SDKs like 1.7, which is the June 2012. I saw one smile. So now you'll be able to have, you know, as many versions as you want. It won't be as painful to upgrade, you know, incrementally. Also, you're going to need the Windows Azure tools. That's going to give you the cloud tools targets that you need and the environments and things like that. And then it's kind of a funny thing, but web, you know, our web development story at Visual Studio doesn't have its own SDK. So you are going to manually need to copy over this web application targets. It's fine. You have license to do that. You heard it here. And just so copy it from the Visual Studio 2010 or 2012 folder, whatever you're using, to the corresponding program files folder on your build server. And that's the only file effectively you need for to build a web project. And then the paths I'm showing right below. All right. So this is, you know, the first step to actually creating the package that's identical to what we do in Visual Studio. It's really easy. Just make sure you have a path to MS Build, which is the framework path, and then kick off MS Build in your solution folder, passing in the target publish. So slash T publish, or fully spelled out slash target colon publish. This will produce exactly the same output as Visual Studio. So you'll have an app publish folder, which contains the CS package, and that contains the right cloud config file, or the right CS config file that maps to the environment you want to publish to. And it's actually selectable which config file you want to use. You want to ensure that you're using the right MS Build version, the right framework version, and this command you can chain into any other host build process that you have, whether that's your own build runner or whether that's TFS. You would just pass this in as the MS Build argument, and off you go. So this is really kind of a good extensibility point for. Some other commands that I think are really handy. In addition to passing in the slash T publish, you can pass in the target profile. I apologize. I think we could have named these properties better. And I actually do want to add new commands and deprecate these. But with the slash target profile, what you can do is actually pass in a different argument for what you want for your cloud config. So let's say you have multiple configs. You have some for LKG, production, test, local, whatever it is. You can have as many of those service config files as you want, and you can just tell MS Build which file to use and to publish here. Also, what you can do is you can pick your own custom drop folder. By default, we'll build into the slash bin slash app.publish, just like Visual Studio does. But if you want to change that, like I'm showing here, I want to publish into a UNC path. Or into some arbitrarily, you know, relative path, like ... slash, you know, my drops. You can go ahead and do that. Just pass in publish dir. So that said, let's pop over to demos. We don't want to get PowerPoint fatigue here. So let's go. We'll create kind of a Hello World Azure project. So I have the June 2012 SDK, aka the 1.7 SDK. I need to target .NET Framework 3.5 or 4.0, because that's today what Azure supports. And we'll create a cloud service. Of course, I just woke up the machine. All right, and then what we'll do, that's a Visual Studio RC bug right there. If you see this, just kind of tuck it behind, like I did. We fixed it for RTM. Good thing we have that RTM. Okay. So what we'll do, we'll add a, you know, this is the simplest multi-tier app. So we're going to have a web role front end based on MVC4. We're going to have a worker role back end that can do some cool back end processing. You know, I could have as many or as few roles as I want. We'll go ahead and create the project. And this resolution, it's pretty fun. But we'll create an internet application. If you're actually curious what this dialog has to do with the new asynchronous build and asynchronous load functionality that we put in VS11. And ultimately, it actually makes Visual Studio a lot more responsive. But we're just being a little bit over-aggressive right now and telling you what's happening. And of course, I have an internet connection, so it's trying to add all my NuGet packages. That's actually where it's spending its time. But I find it's good to either be disconnected from the internet or have great internet. Like hotel internet is not ideal for this. Okay, we're almost there. All right, now what we can see is the different roles or tiers of our solution. Here's my front end. Here's my worker role back end. Here's actually the Azure project. And you know, I always think of the Azure project as my packaging and deployment project. And it also lets me do interesting things like configure the role or basically model the application, choose how many instances or VMs that I'll be running, etc. Right? And what I would do normally in Visual Studio is I would right-click and either package or publish. Let's actually do a package. You can see I can pick the config file. I can pick the solution config. I could even enable remote desktop. I kick off a package. And actually, underneath what we're doing is we're calling MS Build with the right targets, and we're giving you this output. So what I want to do is I want to emulate this exact process and get full fidelity from the command line. So what we'll do is we'll open up the x86 version of the command line. Visual Studio itself is still a 32-bit application. So this is really the one that I want. Okay. Now what we'll do is we're going to find this project. Oh, it just happened in the background. But you can see it created the app publish folder with the CS pack and the cloud config. So now what we'll do, let's go to our new project folder. This one, I think, was Windows Azure 5, right? Yep. Okay, so now we're in the context of our solution folder. And when you're in the context of a solution folder, you don't even need to pass in a solution to MS Build. You can just call MS Build. We'll automatically find the appropriate buildable solutions, and off we go. So we'll just type in MS Build and pass in the published target. And we've got a bunch of lovely command line goo here. You can see it's actually calling CS Pack from the Azure tools underneath. It should almost be done. Here we go. And we actually have some warnings, and this is a good thing. This goes to the fast fail, fast validation. So both in Visual Studio and our targets, we do validation on the package to ensure that it's going to work pretty well when it goes to Azure. So we'll do things and say, hey, you've got storage connection strings for diagnostics and other things that are pointing to the local dev fabric or the local emulator. You know, when you go to Azure, obviously, that's not going to work. It's going to no-op. So we're going to tell you and flag you on things like that that are going to represent as differences or failures in the cloud. And this would be a good opportunity to go and just fix up, you know, all the connection strings, put them into my cloud config for my cloud environment, and then I'll see these warnings actually disappear. But the cool thing is we get that feedback. Then let's take a look at the output here. So, oh, that's not what I want. Where's my bin folder? It's probably tucked away under here. Here we go. Right, so we can see that actually the validation logs we pushed for you into a nice little XML file, and we've built that fresh cloud CS package and cloud config file. So already we've duplicated exactly what Visual Studio does, and we could start, you know, playing around a little bit. Like we could augment the command. I think that's the right one. Find out quick. It doesn't exist. I had to create it first. I guess that's one thing we should have put in for you, is we should auto-create it. Okay. Anyway, you get the idea. So you have control. This is the base command that we can put in all of our automation scripts to actually kick off the build. Any questions on that before I move on? All right, so going to the next step. So we now know how to build a package. What we want to do now is actually automate the push process. And the way that I've chosen to do it here is using PowerShell. Really lends itself to scripting. You can chain it into a number of different things. The prereqs for PowerShell that you need, we just barely released the Windows Azure PowerShell SDK. It's version 0.6. It's very similar to what you might have seen in the past, which is the Windows Azure commandlets, which I believe was on version 2.2. These were adapted so that they work a little bit nicer in a synchronous command line environment. There's a lot of extras that I'll show you in a second. But basically, you can go ahead and grab this. If you go to windowsazure.com and you go to the Manage section, in there, there's the downloads. You can go ahead and grab this. Other things that are really handy, you want to get the publish settings file. And we have a web page right in Visual Studio that we link to. You know, it's managed. It's windows.azure.com/download/publish-profile.aspx. And we have it in the deck. Don't worry, you don't have to remember it. But that's going to basically download everything you need about your subscription, including the subscription ID, the subscription name, and the Base64 encoded certificate. And this is basically the key for your code to call back into Azure, look into your subscription, and do the management tasks, right, like uploading or updating your packages. When you download this file, it's incredibly easy to do the scripting, and it also works well with Visual Studio. Who here has heard about publish settings? You guys all know about this? Okay, I'll show you in the demo. I'll make it a little bit easier. Other things that you need, you know, in order to publish to the Azure environment, you need some things already provisioned in Azure. So you're going to need a storage account. And the storage account is actually used temporarily to upload your package as a blob in blob storage. And then Azure can look into blob storage and provision your virtual machine using that CS pack. Once the process is done, the commandlets and or Visual Studio will actually delete that blob and just kind of clean things up. But you know, we need some temporary storage place to provision your VM, just like the portal does. Also, you need a cloud service container, aka a hosted service container, that's created. You know, that's your DNS addressable way to get into the cloud service. So let's say it'd be paulsservice.cloudapp.net. And if you're using remote desktop, RDP, or SSL, there's also these service level certificates, and you'll need to have created and uploaded those ahead of time, or Visual Studio actually creates them for you. And it's very simple at that point to actually upload them using the management portal and or using PowerShell. I'll show you how to do that. But if you're getting these, hey, certificate not found errors at the time of publish, you're going to need to remember the step and look back at the slides. One thing I always like to say is a tip. Before doing CI and continuous delivery, I always like to publish with Visual Studio first. It's kind of like, you know, before you give someone the app, you hit F5 and you kind of try it out first. Same difference. You do a Visual Studio publish first. Visual Studio will actually fix up a number of things, like we'll fix up your connection strings to storage. We'll do validation for you. We'll set up an MS build profile. We'll kind of give you a lot of infrastructure right away that you can reuse in your scripting. I think it's a really good idea. The other thing is you're going to find any of those initial publishing issues in Visual Studio with more tools before you try to automate the same process and then deal with the failures in automation. In terms of how to provision the resources, I just have a few notes for you guys. All right. So if you want to create a new cloud service container, the commandlet is new Azure service. You give it a service name. Keep in mind that service name needs to be a unique DNS name, right? So for those of you who are squatters out there, you know, you might be squatting on all these DNS names, but you're going to need a unique one, and you're going to get a failure right away if it's not unique. You're going to pick the data center. In Azure terms, we call that a location or an affinity group. You need to pick the location. In this example, I'm showing the West US data center. Just incidentally, you're seeing more data centers now coming from Azure. There used to be things like Anywhere US and Anywhere Europe. That's actually something that in the Azure platform we've moved away from. We've heard feedback that, you know, that can be kind of unreliable or slow because you don't know exactly which data center tiers of your app are deployed to, and you get ingress and egress and all kinds of issues. So the Azure team did a nice thing, I think, which is to eliminate the Anywhere data centers, and now you can pick more data center options that are explicit. You know, and a thing that I like to do is make sure that all tiers of my app, compute and storage, are all in the same data center or in the same affinity group, and that just kind of ensures that we don't hit those hiccups. Second commandlet's about creating that storage account. Again, we need it to push the blob, to push your package blob up into it. So same thing, you just pass in the storage account name, it needs to be a unique DNS address, pick the data center, you can give it a label. And then if you're not sure which locations or affinity groups your subscription has, just call get Azure location, get affinity group. PowerShell will enumerate everything your subscription has access to, and then you can copy and paste that back into your automation. Also, if you look in Visual Studio or the management portal, we'll also enumerate all those data centers for you. This is kind of a, this is something I promise you we'll make easier in the future, but for now, remote desktop is something that developers actually do have to worry about. You have to enable remote desktop. You have to add the remote desktop plugin or module to your project, which basically installs the remote desktop user account into your roles. And then you actually need a certificate because that username and password to enable RDP needs to be encrypted somehow. So we actually use the certificate to encrypt and obfuscate that connection string that's as a part of your package. And then it gives Azure the ability to reconstitute, you know, decrypt that password on the Azure side and actually provision your role. So it's a little bit of plumbing that we have to do. Long story short, you need a certificate in your cloud service container, or else the stuff isn't going to work. So all you have to do is open up your cloud config file for your target environment. Look in the certificate section. You're going to see a line of code that looks just like this. Take a look at the thumbprint, and then you can plug that thumbprint into the line of PowerShell below, where you add Azure certificate, you tell it which cloud service container, and then you actually just upload that cert. And with this line of code, we'll look up that cert and we'll upload it if it's there. You could also use that management portal. You can pick the cloud service container, and there's actually a certificates upload feature. So you could do it either way. You just need to do it as a one-time thing. Once that step is done, you'll never have to do it again. You could also script this. You could check to see if the cert is there and then upload it if it's not there. It really depends. Like for those of you who raised your hand and say, hey, I use a lot of different cloud services for one logical service, you're going to want to upload this thing to each container ahead of time. All right? And then once we've done that, I've created a cloud service publish PowerShell script, and it's available online today on windowsazure.com, and I'm going to keep it updated. But to call that script, basically we're going to pass in a few things just like what we would give to Visual Studio, right? So we're going to tell it which environment or slot that we're using, it's staging or production. We're going to tell it the service name, right, which is that DNS name, storage account, and then we've got to pass in things like the package location and the config location. And remember, just before, we demoed how to use Emma's build to create that package and create that cloud config. So you're going to take the output of that step, and you're going to feed it into this PowerShell command. And basically the, you know, the rest is history. You just call this one line or PowerShell, and this will do every step of pushing it up to Azure. And actually, the log output you'll see in a second is identical to what we did in Visual Studio. So you're going to get that same, if you like that, you're going to get the same amount of trace and the same experience. Let me think if there's anything else I want to tell you about this. Just things that to be aware of, that package location and the config location. I'm showing a physical path on disk. This could be a UNC share, and if you have any code that kind of normalizes a path in your source management depot, you can actually canonicalize or kind of just convert the depot path back to a physical path and still pass that into your command, your PowerShell command. So that's a long-winded way of saying wherever you're building this stuff, you should be able to pass that argument in, and then the PowerShell will be able to work with those input sources. And then two scenarios I'm showing here, and we talked about them at the beginning of the meeting. There's the ability to publish to a staging slot of a service, and then once that looks good, you can just use the VIP swap feature and swap it into production. Or alternatively, in the second example, we're actually going to publish to a different, entirely different cloud service, and I'm calling it the test service here. And I could even use the production slot, right, of that service, and then I can redeploy once that looks good into a different cloud service, right? So it just depends on how you want to do it, and I know there's different practices that work well for each person. So enough said on there. Let's go actually try it out. So what I have here, I'm gonna give you kind of a lay of the land. I've installed a few things here, like we talked about in the prereq slide. We've installed that Windows Azure PowerShell that gives me all the commandlets that I need. And then, you know, Windows itself installs PowerShell and the PowerShell ISE, which is the integrated script environment. Those are the tools that I'm using. You might have your favorite third-party tools. All of those will work just fine. And then what I have is, you know, I have a couple of kind of helpers here. I made this import module, just really short script, and what it's going to do is load the Windows Azure PowerShell modules so that basically, you know, when you type in a commandlet name, it's going to be registered by your console and understood. Also, so you get IntelliSense in your environment. So we can run that guy. All right, everything's loaded. Now I'm going to see. Statement completion on a whole bunch of PowerShell commandlets. And everything will be basically verb-azure something. So new Azure deployment, get-azure deployment, get-azure certificates, et cetera, et cetera. The second thing is we talked about this publish settings file, okay? And let's take a look at this thing. Actually my D drive. All right. So as I mentioned, this basically is the keys to get into Azure, and you can download it from the management portal. And what it has is the subscription ID and a friendly name for your subscription. And then basically, we have the actual management certificate. And this is the honest-to-goodness certificate that you have. So you're going to want to store this in a safe place or actually delete the file. You know, but in the build case, you're probably going to put it somewhere safe on the build server that only the right build admins have access to. And just, you know, I probably wouldn't even check it into the depot because it really is an admin kind of certificate to do anything you want on Azure. So this is something you want to protect. But it also makes it incredibly easy to do downstream programming tests. So we can just import this thing, and then our PowerShell and our Visual Studio environments will, for then on, be aware of how to work with Azure, right? So just in this one line of code, we're going to import the publish settings file. I can see that my default subscription has been added, and it's actually set as current. We do support multiple subscriptions, so if you had multiple here, you would do another line of PowerShell that's select Azure subscription, so you can actually disambiguate which one is being used. And at that point, we're in, right? So we can do all kinds of fun stuff, like we can say get Azure service. And now I'm looking into my account, and I can see every one of those cloud services that I want to use. Which one should we do today? I think we'll do... We'll probably play the most with Contacts Demo and Contacts Dev as my slots. All right. So now we're kind of initialized. Now let's take a look at the PowerShell. I had published on WindowsAzure.com how you do this with a 1.6 SDK. Just over the weekend, I updated this so that it works with the new 1.7 SDK. But we're going to have that preamble where there's a number of parameters that we want to pass in. And these are pretty much identical to the parameters that we just saw in the PowerShell command and also with MS Build, right? So it's things like the service name, storage account name, a couple locations to the key files, which slot you want to use. And then actually, I put in a few flags here to exactly map the functionality that's in Visual Studio. So in Visual Studio, now you have the ability to decide, hey, should I delete an existing deployment automatically before pushing a new one? We have a flag for that. We also have a flag to say, should I always use deployment upgrade or deployment update, or should I explicitly delete and then redeploy? In my opinion, it's better to do a publish update. That in-place update oftentimes is faster, it's less destructive, and also it won't tear down your VIP, so you'll actually preserve and reuse the same VIP every time, and that's nicer for other dependencies that you have on your cloud service. You're not constantly blowing it away. So we actually, in the script, built in publish upgrade, and we'll be really smart. If we detect that there's an existing deployment, we'll go ahead and do the update or the delete and redeploy. And I won't bore you to death with this. This code's online, but we have functions like publish, creating a new deployment, upgrading the deployment, deleting the deployment, walking your instances and starting them, making sure that they're running. And then the main driver basically is going to call publish. And I have a whole bunch of these write outputs with a timestamp and a message. You know, and this is that debug trace that we thought is important. And at the end, you're going to get an experience that almost exactly maps to what you see in Visual Studio. Right? And now we can go ahead and actually just try this out. So, so if we have this publish cloud service command, I can go ahead and call it. In this case, I've actually preset default parameter values. So even if I don't type them in or don't override them, these parameters will get called. Actually, let's do it from a true PowerShell console. That's a little bit more fun. Right? So we'll kick it off. And another kind of apology here. The write progress commandlet is being used, which kind of is like the equivalent of a modal dialog that's showing you asynchronous progress. The PowerShell commandlets are just a little bit aggressive right now, and they're constantly writing progress. And they're not calling completed to actually flush them. So I think of this as a bug. You're going to see a lot of these kind of modal dialogues, and hopefully in a few weeks we'll actually fix this and you won't see all the chatter. But just actually behind it, you're actually seeing the debug trace that I do want to see, and it's got things like my subscription ID, where I'm publishing to, and then it's going to walk through all the states that we're going to hit, like creating a new deployment if we need to create a deployment, uploading the package to blob storage, and then once the deployment's been created, it will walk through all the processes of starting your instances or starting those VMs, and you know at every step of the way what's going on until the process is done. And if there's any failures, you're going to fast fail, and you're going to see them right here. So that's the basic PowerShell experience. Any questions on this before I move on? There's a lot of code, but you can just go download it today and customize it. Questions?
This is all up on Windows Azure.
It's all on WindowsAzure.com. Actually, while it's building, why don't we... all right, so if we go to WindowsAzure.com... actually, kind of as a matter of principle, rather than putting a lot of good info on 1,000 different blogs, what we've tried to do is put all of our best content here on the site. And you know that it's guidance coming from the team, and it's really well vetted. So, for developers, we can pick on the develop tab. There's all the different languages now that Azure supports. In this case, I'm doing .NET, right? And if I scroll down, we have things like publishing with Git and publishing with TFS. And this topic right now is optimized for the new Team Foundation service. That's the cloud-based TFS. There's also the on-premise story, so if I click on this continuous delivery, this is exactly what I'm showing you right now. And all the steps that we went through, configuring the build server, MS build, TFS team build, the PowerShell script, It's all right here. Yeah, thanks a lot. And what I think I'll do, you guys tell me if this is a good idea. I was thinking about making a TFS Git style depot and just putting all the PowerShell scripts there. And we can make it kind of an open, you know, open community effort if you guys want to post submissions. Good idea? Okay, that sounds great. I think that'd be really fun. Cool. Let's just take a, and this is still uploading. I think we're on our sneaker network right now. So let's pop back over to slides for a second. Okay, so we just looked at how we can publish using command line-based PowerShell. At this point, I've shown you kind of the building blocks that you can put into any command line technology. Anything that can call command line can do what we just did. What I want to do now is I want to shift gears into what do we have that's special and unique for TFS to make this easy, right? So in TFS terms, what we need to do is create a build definition, right? And if for those of you who have done that, it's kind of like the TFS way to make your master build script. And build definitions have workflow. And workflow, you know, it's an actual XAML workflow, and you can design exactly what's happening. And what we did is we created a new process template that is aware of the Windows Azure environment and that can call the PowerShell that I just showed you to do the unique heavy lifting for Azure. And we'll talk about TFS, the service, in a little bit. We did something a little bit more special for that service. But here, you know, at the end of the day, we're going to create a build definition. We're going to wire it up to the PowerShell I just showed you. You can do any other customizations, like add your tests, your unit tests, your integration tests, your quality gates. You can do all that in the workflow and do that end-to-end automation that you want. We can also pass the unique MS build arguments that you saw before. And let's just pop back into the demo and let's give it a shot. Incidentally, while I was blabbing on about the slides, we can actually see that the publish is done. So you can see that's publishing to my subscription. We even detected that there's an existing deployment, therefore we're doing an upgrade. We went ahead and performed the upgrade, and then since everything went well, I posted the VIP to where it was published, and off we go, right? So you can see that kind of output that looks exactly like what you saw in Visual Studio. And the really cool thing is you can pipe this output anywhere you want, right? Into a log file, into the TFS build log trace. You can pipe it anywhere. So let's come back into Visual Studio. And on this machine, I've also simulated creating a build machine, right? So I've installed TFS, and I've installed the build agent. So if I go into Team Explorer, I can actually see that I'm on this Contoso service kind of build agent. And in the Builds tab, I have all my build definitions, and I have all the builds that I've kicked off. And let's actually do one more step. Let's add this solution to source code control, because in order to build from the depot, I need source in the depot. So create this TechEd demo on my using this build agent on this TFS server. And let's go ahead and do an initial check-in. Who's using Visual Studio 2010? One tip and trick. A lot of our projects now make use of NuGet packages. So you're going to see, where is it? You're going to see this packages folder, and it actually sits as a peer folder in your solution to your other projects. So in VS 2010, due to a bug, the initial check-in won't, by default, add that packages folder, and you're going to get a whole bunch of build errors when your other developers enlist. They're going to say, hey, like it's complaining the jQuery and all this other stuff. I'm seeing heads nods. You're going to see jQuery, a whole bunch of stuff is missing. All you have to do is just make sure you explicitly add this packages folder. You're not allowed to. Okay. Oh, to download NuGet packages? Right, so I'm assuming that there's one person. Well, first of all, the packages that we include by default are offline and they're on the disk, so you don't need to go to the internet. The internet's only to check if you've got the newest version. And then I'd say if you're in a lockdown environment, just the person who created this project, just make sure you add these files explicitly to the depot, and it'll never bug you again. And again, this is a VS 2010 bug that we've already fixed in Visual Studio 11, or sorry, in 2012, and that's why you're not seeing that issue there. Okay, so I'm not going to hit the bug, but if I were on Visual Studio 2010, I would. So we'll just say initial check-in. 228 items, wow. Pretty good for a Hello World. All right, so we'll check that in. We just want you to have the latest and greatest. Okay. All right, so that's checked in. And now if I go back to the builds menu, what I want to do, let's be bold. We're going to create a build definition from scratch. This is really bold, actually, but let's do it. All right, so we'll call this TechEd CD for continuous delivery. I'm going to start it in the enabled state. We pick the trigger, right? And like I mentioned, you have all different options. If you want true CI, you can go pick this, and then every check-in will kick off a build and a publish. Actually, what I usually do is I do a rolling build so that, let's say, every day I have a test environment that's the latest and greatest, that's my LKG. And I might be a little bit less aggressive for each check-in, but it really depends on what you want. We'll pick CI. By default, we'll understand which workspace you're working in. You can go ahead and change the solution folders that you should pull in. You need to set a drop location. I think this is the name of my machine. Oops. It's actually... Okay, so I'm actually going to drop into a UNC path. Like that. Then we'll go to the process. As I mentioned, the build definition basically calls a true XAML workflow. And there's a number of workflows that we call process templates that are built into TFS by default. The default actually won't work because the default isn't aware of Azure. So as a part of that article and sample that I pointed you to online, we have a new process template. It's based on the default template, but it's got new activities, new workflow activities that call into the PowerShell that work with Azure, and that also handle passing in all those input parameters into the workflow. So if I go ahead and pick it, I can see, I still have all the usual parameters, but I also have these new parameters for all the same things that we would normally pass into to PowerShell, like the config location and all that stuff. So we'll go ahead and set these up. First thing I need to do is pass in the right MS build arguments. So we're going to do slash t publish, just like we did before. And then we're going to do slash t publish dir. And this is where I want it. I want the app publish off of that drop folder. Let's actually make sure it exists. So we set the MS build arguments, and then what we're going to do is go ahead and fill in the cloud config and all that stuff. Now what I can actually do is I can peek back into my depot, and I can pick these paths directly from the depot, so I should be able to do, it'll actually help to see when it's built once. Let's go ahead and build it. Let's not even wire this part up. Let's just see what happens. So go back to Team Explorer. Right now I've set up the CI, but I haven't set up the CD for deployment. So we'll right-click, we're going to queue a new build. It's going to go to this drop location, and you can see that it's going to use that special MS build argument to create the cloud package and not just the web build outputs. So I can see here's the actual MS build arguments that are a little bit special. We're going to queue it up. I'm even getting that validation that we defined before about the connection strings, which is kind of cool. And you can see it actually tried to kick off that PowerShell script. And it's choking at the end because it actually can't find the package. Oh, I'm looking at the wrong one. Okay, so what we'll do, now let's look at one that's fully set up so you don't need to see me type. Okay, so same idea, same process template. Now we're going to do, forgive me, I'll use a different project here, but we're going to look into that drop location. We're going to find the CS config and the CS pack that gets built from the MS build step. You can pick the slot or override it. Here's the Azure Cloud Service container that I want to use. Storage account. I can point to a scripts location either from the depot, like with the dollar sign, or just anywhere on disk. Like I mentioned, I actually don't like to check this file in because it has secrets, so I'd rather pull it from a lockbox or from some ACLed folder that no one else can get to. And then I can describe which subscription I actually want to use. And this guy, let's kick off a build. Let's open it up. Take just a sec. I guess while I'm building, are there any questions about the wire up or what I did? Yes, sir.
Is there anything new in your template as far as new custom activities or build activities, or is this just taking everything that you've shown with your MS Build command line and your PowerShell scripts and wiring that up into the build?
Yeah, great.
Use the default template. We have one.
Right. Yep. Oh, I got you. So yeah, I guess the question is what exactly is I think the what did I put in here and can this be adapted I guess to your current big ugly you know process template that you've evolved over time? Yep. Definitely. Yeah. There are. Let's just take a moment and look at that. So if we edit the. If we look at this default template XAML, online I provided both this template and I've given you the instructions for like here's the activity markup that you can snip and put into your existing workflow. So you don't have to start over, which is the good news. Let's open this up. But basically what you're going to see, I think there's three things. There's parameters that are defined, and those are those input parameters that we just saw here. There's internal arguments. Or environment variables that the XAML is going to need to use and refer to internally. Like, hey, what's the path to this on disk? And then the third thing is the actual activity that's, all it really does is call your PowerShell file with those arguments. That's what it does at the end of the day. And there's a couple tricks that I do that are fancy to make sure that if you pass me any kind of a file path, let's say it's the $/mydepot/whatever, we convert that back to the actual MS build path on disk that the build server can see. We also make sure that the standard build output coming from PowerShell gets piped into the TFS output log. So that's why we're seeing, if I look here, that's why we're seeing the same log information that we saw in the PowerShell console, because we're piping it into that build log. So the article that's online definitely says, like, put these snips in your workflow in these spots, and you can light up your existing process template. Any other questions? All right. And now we can just sit here for the next 5 minutes and watch it deploy. No, just kidding. So I think that's, you know, in terms of setting up the delivery, we're actually already there. Like, we've used MS Build and PowerShell, wired that into our on-premise TFS, and we're actually publishing that live to Azure right now. And if I look in the new management portal, you can actually see here's the live deployment we're doing right this second that's being pushed through continuous delivery. And when the role status is done, we're going to have a nice live site that's upgraded. Okay. Other questions? Yep. Yeah, so the question is, how do you get special build components up into the cloud? Yeah, it's a little bit, the TFS in the cloud is a little bit different, as you would guess, from on-premise. You know, on-premise, chances are someone you know owns the machine and can put anything, you know, GACT components, anything that you want. It's a locked-down kind of sandboxed multi-tenant environment with the cloud-based TFS. So the basic strategy is you check the components and dependencies that you need in with your team project, and then you can reference those components from, like, shared source folders and things like that. If you need to do something impactful, like you would just check them in. And you could check them into a shared location, or you could check them in as a copy local reference with your project. I think that's the best low-pain way. Once you get into doing administrative installs, there's actually sandbox limits where hosted TFS won't let you do those things. And the TFS team's doing kind of an awesome job building on that, and I think they're going to identify the most common installations that you need to do and make sure that there's a way to configure those things, right? So it might be like new portal pages. It's a bit of upfront work, but as long as they're kind of excopyable, you can definitely check them into the depot and use them. And maybe you can define a shared location if you don't want to have too much bloat up in the depot. Yep. And that's actually what I've done here. I have a shared location for my shared scripts and my shared assemblies. Okay. Actually, while I was sitting here talking, we've actually upgraded and done the delivery on our live site, which is pretty cool. So speaking of the cloud-based Team Foundation service, the last thing I wanted to show is how you can use the new Team Foundation service, Elastic Build, to do the same thing we just did here, but do it completely in the cloud, right? So you're checking source code into the cloud. The cloud's build agent is going to build for you, and the cloud's build agent is going to push from the cloud source depot to the Azure cloud service, right? So it's like absolutely everything's in the cloud. There's no, zero installation that you need to do of build agents on your local machine. It's pretty cool. To make this a bit easier, we have a web-based wizard in the Azure portal and in the Team Foundation service portals. Basically what you do, I'm going to show you in a second, but you're going to walk up to the cloud service that you want to use in or to target. You're going to say, hey, let's connect TFS and Azure. And there'll be an OAuth handshake. There'll be an authentication handshake that says, hey, I'm going to give access to the TFS service to publish into my Azure service. So now it's a trusted user just for the build. As an artifact of that, we're going to create a build definition and check it in for you. Well, it's not checked in, but we're going to create it and provision it for you in your team project. So all that work that you just saw me do on-premise, the service just does for you and has an out-of-the-box template that just works, and you can modify it in the same way. If there's a solution checked into the depot, it'll automatically be detected as the solution to build, and you can always override in that build definition which solution you want to build. And then it's going to automatically set the continuous integration as a trigger. If you want manual or if you want a timed, scheduled build, you can change the trigger. So just, you know, you get effectively the same kind of build definition that we just painstakingly created on-premise. And one thing to note, just as a principle, the TFS team is telling me that, hey, we're going to do innovations like this first in the service, and then, you know, because we can innovate on the service really rapidly, and then, you know, it will, over time, flow back into the on-premise product, too. So I would expect this kind of easy wizard will show up in the on-premise product as soon as the TFS team can do it, right? And then things you can do, you can customize the trigger, the solution, and all of those workflow templates, properties. So let's go do my last demo with 8 minutes to go. Close that too fast. So we're going to go to the new Azure management portal, manage.windowsazure.com. If you haven't checked it out, this is much faster. I really enjoy using it. We'll go to the Cloud Services tab, and let's pick a cloud service container that we want to deploy into. It's actually just loading some stuff asynchronously. There we go. How about we use the production slot of contacts demo? And that's a bad choice because I've already done this before on the slot. So let's do it on a different one. Actually, we'll do it from scratch. We'll do a quick create, cloud service. And that DNS name has not been used. Let's put it in West US. Actually, we'll do East US. That's where we are. We'll use my subscription. We'll provision that cloud service. We'll open this guy up. And in the getting started area, you can see that I can set up TFS publishing. And then what I need to do is I need to pick a new or an existing TFS preview account that I can publish from. So I've already set that up. But you can just go to tfspreview.com and make one right now. So mine's called Waverton. And this is, remember when I talked about the OAuth handshake? We're going to do that right now. So we're requesting permissions for TFS to publish to Azure. I'm going to allow it. And now I'm going to look into my TFS account. And I should have created a project. Well, I already have this one set up. Actually, let's go ahead and create it. Bear with me here. Actually, I can do it even faster. We'll say waverton.tfspreview. This is my depot. I'm going too fast here. Create a team project. Create a project. This takes just a few moments. Who's checked out the TFS preview already? That's good.
This is separate
Exactly. Completely separate. Yep. So if you don't want to set up on-premise TFS and you just want to start here, this is an option.
You could check into this repository from your on-premise one, right? So if you went through a series of
yes.
testing and blah, 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 and say, okay, now I'm ready to branch or publish.
Absolutely.
Cloud deployment.
Definitely. Yeah, you can totally mix and match. Like you can use... you can use the hosted TFS as your source management depot, and you can do local builds and push, or you could do the opposite where you're doing things in a local depot and then you're publishing into Azure from on-premise. You can mix and match absolutely everything. And that's a cool thing. Like there's source management as a service and build as a service, and you can choose which service you want to use where. Yep. All right, so that's done. Phew. Probably going to have to do a refresh. We'll do that one more time. Question is, what's the billing aspect? I'm not the best person to comment on that. I really don't know. Yeah, we should I definitely come swing by the Visual Studio booths and we can talk about that. Okay. Gentleman says they don't know yet. Okay, so now we're going to pick that team project that we just provisioned. Hit OK. And now, basically, the team project and your Azure Cloud Service are being linked. And until you remove the link, you'll just be able to do continuous delivery from one service to the other. Pretty cool. And then what we can do... Let's come back here. Do we have let's just do a new hello world. Oh, it's downloading the NuGet packages again. I know I should have unplugged. There we go. We'll do is we'll add this Azure project to source control. I'm going to pick a different depot this time. So now I'm going to pick the hosted TFS depot. All right. We'll check in here. That's fine. Racing against the clock, but we're going to make it. Initial check in. Then, if we go to the builds, you know what? I think I didn't pick the right project. Here we go. And I can see that as an artifact of walking through that wizard, this build definition was created. And rather than having to do all that installation config myself, I can see that the CI trigger has been set. And I can see that there's a default process template in just a sec that can publish to Azure. Azure Continuous Deployment. And the TFS team and my team work together to actually take the best aspects of the on-prem solution and build it into the cloud-based solution. So there's even nicer friendlier defaults. So we're automatically wired up to that Paul Yuke Tech Ed slot. And you can see that there's a number of overrides. So if I want to override and go from staging to production, pick a different cloud service entirely, pick a different publish profile or config file, I can override that at any time. Otherwise, we'll just drive it off the defaults from what you checked in. So you can see, actually, using the wizard, it basically skips the hours worth of stuff that we just had to learn for on-premise, and it's much easier. And again, this is the kind of thing that in the on-premise solution, we'd like to have this process template and this build definition wizard be there by default, so you just get it for free. So I think that's a coming attractions of what's coming. All right, so we just saw the TFS preview side of it. And really, just to summarize, you know, what we did today is we automated the complete end-to-end delivery process. You saw how this integrates in the overall lifecycle from, you know, dev to check-in to build to publish. Tests would have been run as a part of my build definition, and going through that whole virtuous cycle, right? Every check-in results in a real, actual deployment. We showed some of the places where we can fit into your existing process, right? So if you don't want to use TFS, you don't want to use the whole solution I showed you here, you can take the pieces you like, take the MS Build part, take the PowerShell part, embed it in your own solution and in your own lifecycle. You know, and it really factors in your own requirements. Everything that I showed you here is available today, right now on windowsazure.com. So there's the on-premise link, and then there's the Team Foundation service link. And with that said, I do want to give a shout out to a few other sessions. This afternoon, Jamie Cool and Chris Patterson are doing an even deeper dive on continuous delivery from a pure TFS perspective. So if you want to go even deeper to best practices, that's going to be a totally awesome one. There's also a Windows Azure specific deployment talk that talks about, you know, all the different compute containers we have, including websites and cloud services, and focuses on how the deployment practices can be used in each container. And then if you want to see me again, I'm going to be talking on Thursday, giving you a 300-level deeper dive into pretty much everything we're doing in the cloud tool space. And there's a lot of stuff there, so I'd love to see you guys again. And then otherwise, I'm going to be, all this week, I'm going to be at the Visual Studio booth. If you don't find me for some reason, please shoot me an email, and I'd love to meet up with you guys and get to know you better. And with that said, thank you very much. Yep.